All right. So
yeah, you got to keep all this, man. Yeah, don't erase it.
We're not erasing anything else. So we just got done recording the Catholic Man Show.
Yep.
This is Michael Miley sitting here with me, the drummer of Rival Sons. Like, do you say the drummer of Rival Sons, or do you actually say, like, if you actually say Rival Sons drummer, or, like, how do you like to be titled?
The owner of Rival Sons the Incorporated. Owner?
Nice. That's how I would like.
I'm
to be titled.
An entrepreneur.
Yes.
To all the young, I think I'm louder than you. I think my levels are...
That's okay. I can normalize it once we get done.
Are you sure? Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think, audience out there? The friends of the show. Am I louder?
Possibly.
You're not totally getting up on it. I'm getting totally up on it. So you're hearing our sound check right now, people.
Yeah, by the way, we're just talking about microphones. That's what we're talking about.
Rival Sons. I'm the owner of Rival Sons. Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought I heard or read something about you were going to talk to your guitar player, like, to try out or something, and they'd mm-hmm. already picked a drummer, and then you were like, no, guys, listen, mm-hmm. I need to try out. Is that right?
Me and Scott got along really well on the phone, and, like, basically did a phone interview, and, I mean, we rapped for, I don't know, hour and a half on the phone, and, you know, we were both vegetarians, and... I'm no longer a vegetarian. Sorry for all you non-vegetarians. Sorry, all you vegetarians. And we just bonded. We bonded on the blues. We bonded on like why music has lost its soul.
Yeah.
You know, some of the stuff we were just talking about in the Man Show and the Catholic Man Show. I should specify, make that distinction. There was a Man Show before, right?
If there was, it wasn't manly enough to stick around.
It wasn't. Wasn't that where Jimmy Kimmel got his start?
Oh, I think.
Wasn't it called The Man Show?
That's why I thought you guys made
the distinction. Like, now you have, like, these kind of men, but then you have real men.
Dude, no, I think it was more that we were just, like, we're not very creative, and we knew we wanted to reach guys. And so in order to reach guys, we said guys like... clear, understandable titles, and we said, how about the Catholic Man Show?
It's extremely pragmatic.
Yeah.
And utilitarian. Not in the negative sense that JP2 used it in Love and Responsibility, but mm-hmm. Just to segue from my audition to Love and Responsibility. I always love doing that.
So we just got done recording The Catholic Man Show. We just got done talking about the sacredness of music. That is exercised holy water, my friend.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Can you bless me?
No, I can't bless you, but you can bless yourself. Like, I don't have the authority to bless you. God didn't give me the authority to bless you.
I just bless myself with
exercised holy water.
So
that was actually blessed by an exorcist.
That is amazing. Was this the one you guys were talking about on the
Catholic Man Show? Yeah,
the show.
Before we start, Dave and I.
This was your man gear from like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, Dave and I, like, every episode before we start, we read this prayer. We pray this prayer, the daily consecration prayer to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Bless ourselves, and then we start.
That was my problem. Back there at the show, I have to a confession. I did not pray before we did that show. I'm on 24 hours of no sleep, traveling from Europe.
Dude, check that out. And, use that coaster. These coasters were made by a monk.
Yes.
That sent them to us. Sweet coasters. So anyway,
like an implied cross. I like it.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, so we're drinking. So we just got done, but we're drinking a beer, a Marshall's 2016 beer, El Cucuy. Mm-hmm. It's an IPA. It's a black IPA. And my buddy Juan, who you guys have heard about on our show, he's Dave and I's one of our best friends. He got it for us to have on the show.
Juan, the guy that cooks at the camping trip.
Yeah. ridiculous. Yeah,
Juan, I want to meet you, man, because yeah. I think we're already best friends. We just didn't know it yet.
Yeah, dude, and he only lives like a mile away from here.
Oh man.
So, but yeah, so,
dude,
oh,
come over.
Yeah, right now. Dude, Juan, come on over.
What is it, Monday?
Yeah, it's Monday. Yeah, what I mean, you know, what are you doing? Hey, by the way, guys, we just found out that. David's not here,
dude.
Yeah, we gotta.
What are we thinking?
Here, let's just salute to David.
Yeah. Yeah.
David just became he's already a father, but he became another father of
Daddy 2.0.
Yeah, a healthy, beautiful baby girl, Mary Angelica Niles.
That's beautiful. And I have a 4-week-old daughter, and even though her name is amazing, I'm jealous. I didn't even, and I apologize to Mother Angelica up there. Blessed. Is she blessed yet?
Not yet, but she's got to be. She's on the fast track.
She's on the fast track. Yeah. That I didn't even think of that because it's just such a beautiful name.
Yeah.
Angelica, you know?
Absolutely.
Obviously Mary.
Yeah. In fact, Haley and I had a miscarriage at the beginning of this year.
Oh,
and
sorry.
Yeah, and whenever we found out, we had named our baby Angelica Marie.
Oh, interesting.
In fact, when we found out that we were going to be, it was a very high risk, or that it was potentially a miscarriage, we immediately named the baby Angelica Marie. In hopes of giving Mother Angelica, hey, Mother Angelica, are you ready to be a canonized saint?
Yeah.
Like we are giving
Here's your first miracle.
Yeah, we are giving you all the opportunity. Here's the door, and it's open, you know. So anyway, but the name is just absolutely beautiful, and
that's cool.
You know, Dave's been my best friend forever, so it's I'm so happy for him, and hopefully, I think we're gonna try to swing by the hospital.
I mean, normally. You never have your phone here while you're shooting the show, right?
Right.
But the phone is here. We're waiting because we could possibly take this show to the hospital.
That's right. Yeah, we're waiting on him because he said he was going to get back to me. And as soon as he did, the hospital's only about a mile away or less than a mile away. So we may bail here pretty quick.
We might have to hit pause. So just be ready for that.
Yep. So... Dude, I can't believe that you're even like sitting here being able to be coherent.
I honestly can't either. My wife's going to listen to these and go, "How in the heck did you did you stay up?" Cuz I usually travel and I get to where I'm going and I eat. We ate fantastic Mexican food.
Right.
I eat and then, you know, you get that food coma and then like sometimes when I travel to, let's see, when I'm going west, okay, to California, I live in Camarillo, California. And when I arrive at home, usually our flight gets in at like 5. So I'm home like 6, eating Mexican food by 6:30, and I'm in bed at 7. Like, I'll there'll be baseball or football or something. My stepdad's always watching some sports. And I usually will sit on the couch and wake up at like halftime, you know?
Yeah. halfway under, like knowing what's going on.
Yeah. Like waking up, like, did I fall asleep?
You know? Exactly.
And just, and completely out, like, you know,
dead to the world.
Yeah. Baby serotonin level, you know?
So, okay. So you're like a rock, like you're a major rocker. You're like in a rock band that is like worldwide known. I mean, it's like every guy like has at one point in their life wanted to be a rocker or like wanted to be in a rock band, and
stopped.
But every guy made
the mistake.
Well, everybody wants to and likes the ideas of, what a rock, like the things that come with the title of being a rock rock star.
Which aren't normally
worldly.
Yeah.
Let's throw it that way. You know, it's a bunch of, you know, the whole sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And what, I mean, that's not obviously right, but I think every guy can relate to the idea of at one point in time wanting to do that. You're a, you know, diehard Catholic who's a rocker. How hard is it to live your Catholic faith while rocking?
Extremely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know,
dude, I like look up to you just in that aspect because let me tell you something. I am not a good musician. Like, God purposely did not make me a good musician because he knew that if I was good, I would pursue it. And then, like, I would fall into, like, every temptation that comes with being a rocker. Like, I'm not strong enough, and I know that. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that the God did that on purpose because he knew I couldn't do it. So, like, I, like, hardcore look up to you mm-hmm. for that because I think it'd be incredibly hard to live your Catholic faith and live a virtuous life while still being in a rock and roll band.
Well, they say God doesn't put he doesn't test us past what he knows we can do. There's something, right? There's a Catholicism in there. I'm by the way, I'm three Easters into this. I'm a convert from Protestantism. The ism of protesting. Yeah. Not affirming, but protesting.
Exactly.
So with that, a maxim?
Yeah.
I sometimes look up to heaven and go, why did you put me here? mm-hmm. Because it is hard. And, it's not like these days there's not sex, drugs, and rock and roll. There's not, backstage, we're opening for Black Sabbath right now. There isn't, you know, drugs and naked girls running around backstage. There's none. And that's actually, I mean, even outside of the Black Sabbath, we've toured with, Lenny Kravitz
and like ELO, right? Haven't you toured with ELO?
We toured with Deep Purple.
Oh, Deep Purple, that's who I was thinking of.
And they're older blokes, you know. Mm-hmm. We toured with Lenny Kravitz.
Dude, I bet he's pretty cool to just talk to.
He's a rad dude. I didn't personally get to like sit down with him.
Yeah.
My guitar player did. But he's totally down to earth. I mean, he walks around backstage and says hi. He's not like totally rock starred out.
Right.
But you know, we do a lot of festivals as well in Europe, and it's like people are on their cell phones, like, you know, Skyping with their wives or their girlfriends back home, or you know. There's not a lot, like when I read all those stories growing up, Led Zeppelin and Motley Crue and all these like hardcore rock bands with all these crazy stories, like I don't see that. I honestly...
Really? You don't?
I honestly haven't seen all the stuff I read about.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Maybe that's God's, his gift to me, like believing in me that I can get through the temptations because He put me in this era and not
in the 70s, 60s yeah. and 70s.
But I think it's actually to use the rock and roll analogy, I think it's more rock and roll to be Catholic. And so I kind of use that to my, you know, advantage, which is a good thing to use to your advantage, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
But no, it is hard, and I face a lot of, it's more like there's loneliness, there's missing my wife and my boy. Knowing my boy is like home without his dad is like, can be one of the most depressing things. And then when you fall into that that kind of self, not loathing, but
pity.
Yeah, pity and like I'm the worst dad. Like, why am I even out here? And then the next day you don't have a good gig, but you have a bad gig, and you're like doubly asking yourself, why am mm-hmm. I out here? What the you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, because I'm a really avid believer of being a good dad, and I'm doing everything in my power to raise
super manly of you.
Yeah. To like, I mean, I was actually teaching Jacob the other day, He was talking about Superman. I go, oh, you mean Jesus. And
oh, that's awesome.
And so now he sees Jesus and he'll be like Superman. Oh, whereas his first time he saw, I showed him the crucifix and he was barely talking. I mean, crucifix is in our house. The first time I like carried him up to it, he puts his finger on the crucifix and he goes, owie.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, it just like,
yeah, it just hit me, man,
in the chest. And like right now I almost want to cry because it was so powerful, because you have this 2-year-old, like what, 18 month old. I don't know. He was like almost, he wasn't even two. And owie was like one of the first words every kid learns, you know,
right,
like
ball, right, right,
ball, mom, you know, dad,
right.
Owie, you know? And so he
understood,
touched the crucifix with his finger and he's like, owie. And he still will point the cross and say, owie. It's so amazing.
Wow.
And then I'm out in the road going, I'm not there to experience that, you know? And so I do everything in my power to make up for that time lost when I'm home.
Right.
But when I'm out there, that depression, like, for lack of a better word, you know, I don't sit around sulking all day, but that can lead to weakening you when there is a temptation, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
For sure.
So like,
I could definitely see that. That, yeah. I mean, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. So, or missing my wife, my beautiful, wonderful wife. And, I mean, yesterday, like I wake up to pancakes my last day home. And they're the European style pancakes with like Nutella and
nice,
like jam. And I introduced Estonia to peanut butter. I'll take that. I will claim that.
Boom.
And own it. And that's part of my humility training is owning that. It's worldwide humility.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
I'm taking Dave's place tonight.
Right.
For the humility.
Yeah.
So I'm talking a lot more than you. So,
hey, let me ask you, let me ask you that. Well, people want to hear you. They don't want to hear me anyway. Let me ask you this. This is just a fun question. What were your thoughts?
Chocolate ice cream.
Oh, good call.
No.
While you're eating chocolate ice cream, what were your thoughts when you first saw Spinal Tap?
I thought it was the stupidest thing ever, but like one of the funniest things that every band that has a sense of humor will quote,
right,
at least once, twice a day. There's something to quote.
Right.
And whether it's This Goes to 11 or yeah, you know, wanting different bread in the dressing room, or you know, getting lost backstage.
Yeah, backstage.
Like,
I bet that really does happen.
It's happened. It happens to us 1 out of every 10 shows.
Yeah,
because you're in a different room every day, and
they all start bleeding together.
During the day, you sound check at 4, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, and you walk to the stage a certain way. And then at night when the doors are, we call it doors, after doors, there's certain hallways that are closed off,
mm-hmm,
so that the public can't get to you. So
right.
It's like protection, but then now you have to walk a new way.
Yeah.
And so, and you're in a building that was built in, you know, 1910 in Amsterdam.
Right.
And you're walking by all these dusty pipes going, is this legal? You would never see this in America, mm-hmm, you know? And it's just interesting. And so, yes, Spinal Tap is a definite must. And
yeah,
at least once a tour, you got to just roll it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the after midnight movie session.
For sure.
When the bus leaves.
Dude, it's, yeah. When I saw that for the first time, I can still remember the first time I watched that, and I was just like,
I'm just thinking of like 3 scenes simultaneously, John Paul II style. Cheers to,
oh,
John,
man,
Paul II.
Like concentration.
Split concentration. I can't even believe it.
Wow.
You know who else had that? Is G.K. Chesterton. Have you heard about that?
I have not heard about that.
You gotta get into. Is it Dale?
Dale Alquist.
Alquist, right?
Dale Alquist.
He's like a super genius historian on GK. And
Dude, let me just interrupt you for just a second. There is a a priest here in the diocese. He's actually a Monsignor who has the best G.K. Chesterton collection in the world.
What do you mean?
Of books by G.K. Chesterton. In fact,
all the ones published or bootlegs?
Like,
or?
No, like original like stuff and copies and like
manuscript kind of
like,
stuff. Like
Dale Alquist came to Tulsa one time and he went by
for his research. He wrote the something apostle. What was his book?
Oh,
anyway, go on with your story.
Yeah. So he came by, he went by, this priest's house, Monsignor Gallus. Uh-huh. And, he said himself, this is the most impressive collection of G.K. Chesterton memorabilia that I've ever seen. He said, in fact, he said something like, you need to make sure that some museums know that you have this at some point because it's super impressive. In fact, I bought a G.K. Chesterton book. It's in this hodgepodge bookshelf that I have right here, but I can't remember the title of it off the top of my head, but I bought it and it was like, oh, it's a second edition or something like that, but it's still very hard to find. And I got it off of eBay and bought it for, you know, a decent amount of money. And I was going to give it to Monsignor Gallus, who's here in the Tulsa Diocese. And I was like, I'm going to give it to him and he's going to like love it, you know, because it's like hard to find and he's going to be pumped about it. I gave it to him and he's like, oh, no, I have two copies of this.
Oh, my God. Is there any chance that I can go visit this library tomorrow?
Possibly. I have his cell phone number, so possibly.
The Apostle of Common Sense.
Yes.
Yeah, that's by Dale Alquist. That's what I was thinking of. But, dude, what's his name?
Monsignor? Patrick Gallus.
Patrick Gallus, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're leaving tomorrow.
I'm leaving tomorrow night to go to EWTN.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah,
so that means
night.
You have the morning free.
I have morning and afternoon. Well, I mean, I gotta work, but
you are. Oh, there's the old work thing.
Yeah, the whole work.
The old providing for your family, toiling. Yeah. Genesis 3.
Dude, I wish that I could just like, you know, run the Catholic radio station. Yeah, I wish I could like run the Catholic radio station here in Tulsa and just do the Catholic Man Show and provide for my family. But
it'll happen, man.
Maybe.
It's like a crossfade when you're crossfading.
Yeah.
This one is going up while this one's going down. You just crossfade it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm praise the Lord, God in heaven, the provider of all, that I literally make my living. I pay all my bills playing drums.
Dude, but that is so sweet.
Like for the first time in, a long time, on and off in my music career. You have the ups and downs.
Did you have a lot of downs?
Oh gosh, do you want another hour?
Did I just open a can?
Do we have like a 2-hour segment? I've quit playing twice, two major times. You know, it's extremely hard. And you were saying you played guitar a lot for a period of time, and then there's just the basic human nature of attachment and you want something so bad. And I had a record deal and we were told we were the next Foo Fighters. It was like right after the Foo Fighters came out. You know, grunge was gone, thank God, and all that stuff. I was never in the 90s. I was studying jazz and Frank Zappa, you know, like just weird music with great musicians.
Yeah.
And jazz,
Zappa,
a lot of jazz.
Man, he was crazy.
Yeah.
I like downloaded, you know, back when this is totally wrong and I've already been in confession about this, but you know, whenever like LimeWire and all those came out and you could like
I downloaded Shut Up and Play Your Guitar for free.
Yeah, like, dude, but no, when BitTorrents came out, that was like a different gig. Like, you know, it was like you could download the whole discographies of people. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like here's Frank Zappa and everything he's ever recorded and every live out like live track he's
Wait,
ever done.
What is it? BitTorrent.com? BitTorrent.com?
I'm not telling Wait. You. I'm not telling okay. you. I don't want to. I don't want to. But.
Because I want everything Frank Zappa's ever done.
Yeah. And, dude, I used to do that all the time with all different artists. But...
Well, yeah. I mean, I used to record onto Maxell tapes from my dad's record collection. I mean, file sharing isn't like this brand new thing. I mean,
right?
It's rampant now. It has destroyed the record company.
Yeah,
I mean
sure.
the record business. So yeah. I mean, I'm not taking it lightly. I'm not gonna stand on a soapbox like some artists. I think that if you want to download my whole library, I'm doing something right. And hopefully you'll come see me play when I come to your town and buy a t-shirt, you know? So
yeah. And that's why I also said I went to confession because that it's just not right to do. Yeah, right. You know, like, the laborer deserves his wages.
Yeah.
You know, and,
it's really interesting, isn't it? That somebody will go spend $14 a ticket to take his girlfriend out to a movie and spend $20 on popcorn and another $9 for a small soda. So right there we have like 40 something.
Yeah.
$50, right?
Right.
To go take your girl to a 100-minute movie, not even 2 hours, but you won't spend $7.99 on your favorite musician.
Band. Yeah, isn't that messed up?
What are, if you're listening to this and that makes sense, like, email us. Email me or hit me up on Facebook, because I need some consolation. I do not understand why.
But I think it probably, like, I think the reason why it started, and this is just like my personal opinion, which means nothing, but I think that why that started was record companies at one point in time back in the 90s started getting pretty greedy. And I remember like
in the 90s.
Well, yeah, I mean,
in
but,
the 50s.
Yeah. But, in you the know, 60s? CDs in the 70s? Were costing like, you know, $21.99, $26.99. I remember I bought CDs when I was a kid.
Wow.
For like $25.99. Where
were you, London?
No, like here. Like I remember buying some, in fact, I remember buying,
$26.99 for
yeah,
a CD.
Yeah. I remember buying, the Black Keys first album,
wow.
back in,
Thick Freakness.
Yeah. Which yeah. One? Yeah. Thick Freakness.
Yeah. I like the Black Keys.
I do too. In fact, I saw them, yeah. I saw them live here in Canes before, like right after they released Thick Freakness. Here in Tulsa.
I saw them in Hollywood in a place, in a stage the size of your studio, maybe smaller. And they were horrible. But I was like, that's the coolest. Like, it was just cool. There's something about it that, because I'm like, a drummer's horrible, who I absolutely love.
What's his name? Patrick Carney? Is that his name?
I absolutely love him.
Yeah,
he's admittedly not a drummer's drummer. He's clearly not a drummer's drummer. He's not the Keith Carlock or the Dave Matthews drummer, Carter Beauford.
Yeah,
Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, whatever. Like the lineage of
he's like the white. What's the gal's name from White Stripes?
Meg White.
Yeah, Meg White. Yeah,
I love her.
But he's more like a Meg White drummer, right? Yeah. I mean, I remember listening to what is it, White Elephant? By the White Stripes. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to that and like, I've never played the drums before in my life, but I was listening to that and I sat down on a drum set and I was like, I'm pretty sure I can hit this rhythm. And
I could teach anyone listening how to play any White Stripes song within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
No matter what your skill level is.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. That's what Jack White has tapped into, is sort of, the visceral elementary.
Dude, I mean, how elementary is Seven Nation Army?
Yeah.
But yet, you've heard it almost every college football game. You hear it like.
Yep. It's how would a 5-year old what would a 5-year old do if he was endowed with the gift of sort of keeping a beat? Mm-hmm. You know, like he'd go ape mm-hmm. on the drums, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just looking all the paraphernalia in the Catholic Man Show studios here.
Dude, it's a wreck right now. Sit
in here for days and just be there's like Byzantine art like just dude, laying around. It's what do you have?
Yeah, dude, like we have
full-blown 1100 year old.
You see this cross right here? Painting. I made that cross.
Which one?
That one right there.
Oh, is this the cedar one?
That's the cedar one.
Is this the test?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I listened to the show. You guys don't realize I'm like a fanboy.
Yeah.
A total fanboy.
But that was the test.
This looks like total Protestant cross.
Yeah, because there's no, it's not a crucifix.
Okay. No, but it looks like the hip.
The hip and drive.
The new, dude. You should have put it at like an angle.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
Yeah, but then, yeah.
You can't see, but I'm doing a cross at an angle. just to make it like New Age or Church of Religious Science or
oh yeah
Mary Baker
Mary Baker
Mary Eddie
Baker yeah. Dave still hadn't texted us.
Okay, we're on call here.
Dude, and my wife isn't here right now. She's visiting the in-laws in Portland. My in-laws, her parents, and when she's not here. I tell her, mm-hmm. I give her the warning, but when she's not here, I sometimes smoke a pipe in my house.
And, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, I smoke a pipe sometimes in my house. Dun, 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 in fact, dun. When my wife goes out of town, Dave and Juan and a couple of my buddies sometimes will all come over because they know I will allow them to smoke
wait, a where pipe. Is everybody? I come to town and everybody leaves?
Well, dude, it what is a Monday.
And like Dave's wife did give birth.
Did give birth tonight to a beautiful, I think it's kind baby
of,
girl.
That's kind of commemorative somehow, if that's a word. Commemorating?
Yeah.
Like episode 28 or 29, we planned this for a while because I knew I was coming on this day.
Like a month or two out.
And their due date was
2 weeks ago.
Earlier, yeah.
Or actually, I'm sorry, a week ago, but they thought that she would be giving birth 2 weeks ago.
My wife is on my Fitbit showing up saying, how was your show? Referring to what we're doing.
Sweet.
So I'll have to get back to her. Honey, it was awesome.
It was a lot of fun. We had I don't know if everybody else had a lot of fun, but mm-hmm. I know that we had a lot of fun.
We sporadically talked about Tractor Soda, Lafroig, musical instruments and
the sacredness
of music, or the lack thereof.
Yeah, at times the lack
thereof.
Which
I could riff on for a lot more time, because there is no sacredness in music, and we've as people, as civilization, and the advent, like. I sort of joked about it, but it is true. The advent of nominalism, these philosophies that were trying to get rid of scholasticism, it was a perfect storm. You have the Enlightenment is coming, the Renaissance. You have scholastic thought, which is like, you know, post-Thomistic, you know, Thomism. From St. Thomas Aquinas.
Dude, have you read the Summa?
Have I read it? Yeah, like 5 times. What do you mean? Duh.
Dude, I've tried to like read through the whole Summa, and I have failed.
I'll just cheers you just for trying.
Dude, it's...
I read 1.1.
Yeah.
0.1 to like 1.1.3. Like I maybe got to 1.1.5. Mm-hmm. So,
dude, let me ask you this question. Did Jesus have faith?
Did Jesus? No.
No, he didn't.
Uh-uh. He did. He is. Well, no, he isn't faith. He is. he is God, so he's...
So he didn't need faith.
He didn't need faith.
St. Thomas Aquinas talks about that in the Summa. So...
Whoa.
Yeah, that this is a
now it's getting good.
Yeah. This is a question that I was talking actually to a priest about, and he made this this comment, and it was offhand. Like, I think that if we would ask him again, it was just kind of off the top of his head. He was giving three people that had great faith, and he said Pope John Paul II, Mother Teresa, and Jesus. And my first thought was, I don't think Jesus had faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you're in heaven and you're in front of the beatific vision, there's no faith because you don't need it. You see it. There's no hope.
There's no hope. There's only love.
There's only love.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when the Word became incarnate, even when Jesus came down, he still was part of the beatific vision. He didn't need he didn't need faith. And he didn't need hope in the form of theological hope.
Mm-hmm.
He had hope, like, as far as, I think the example would be, he had hope that once he died, he knew that his body would be resurrected, you know, on the third day.
I don't think he had hope. I think he knew it.
I mean, but he knew it, but he...
Right?
Yeah, he definitely... Yeah. But there was, like, hope as far as, like, not in the theological sense, but, like, trust. I think more, like, trust.
I think if he had any hope, it would be in humanity.
Yeah.
Getting their act together.
Yeah, like, you know, the first two pages of the Bible is how God set everything up, and then the rest of it was how God had to come back in and fix it because we jacked up.
Yeah. All the way from, from before the flood to
because we just keep jacking up.
Moses, the 40 years, to Deuteronomy, to Judges, to First, Second Samuel. I mean,
dude, my dad, when we were little, made or not made us, but had us memorize every book of the Bible.
But like,
by
reading, like,
no,
I mean,
not
like,
not by reading,
word by word.
No.
Oh, just
memorize the books in order.
Oh.
You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 6 Samuel, and so on.
My Protestant friends listening there are going, I memorized the
chapter and verse.
Chapter, verse.
Yeah.
Word for word.
Right. But,
like 2,500 years ago, didn't like Jewish kids have to actually memorize the Torah?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. In fact, most of them,
the Pentateuch, did.
And that's why, you know, the Rosary came about, was because, you know, most of the monks would recite
the
Psalms.
Yeah,
all 150 Psalms.
We're so lazy,
dude. We are. So, and we, like, Patrick Coffin talks about this all the time, about how, like, we have untrained memories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no such thing as bad memories. There's trained memories and untrained memories.
Yeah. Leonard, what's
no Harvey
Lorraine.
Lorraine
Harry Lorraine. Yeah.
That's what it is. That's
I actually got a book by Harry Lorraine, and I started doing the memory training thing that Patrick talks about, memorizing the grocery list and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing that, and it is it's like an anti bicep. my memory. But I have a weird memory, though. I can remember weird stuff. I remember music. If I record or play music, I'll it's like permanently inserted into the hard drive. But just anything else,
like, yeah.
Where I put my keys to, I left my Kindle at home. My Kindle has like 27 books that I want to read on this trip I'm on. I'm reading Jason Everts, you guys recommended it a couple weeks ago. Jason Everts,
his file.
Can I borrow that?
Yeah, dude, borrow it.
It's in my Kindle. I left my Kindle at home.
I would love for you to.
This book is excellent. I'm going to plug this book again. I'm like halfway through this book. I'm in Kids, His First Love. So I'm like over a third of the way through.
Okay.
Yeah,
it is so good.
It is his story about what he endured pre World War II, World War II, post World War II, pre-papal, you know, life.
Yeah.
Papal life, literally, like, I don't want to say single-handedly, but maybe single-handedly bringing down communism.
Dude, no, he definitely
Gorbachev is quoted in here something saying like
he single-handedly and the, yeah. And the Nazis like messed up by like allowing like airing him on TV thinking that he wasn't very influential. Mm-hmm. Turns out
they
were wrong.
They were not putting the camera angles on him.
Right.
And that actually worked to his advantage.
Right.
I mean the faith got stronger in Poland and
dude, Poland is such a holy country as is. You know, I don't know about now, but I mean,
went to Mass. I played Warsaw on like a Tuesday night and I went to the evening Mass at 7 p.m. It was everybody's getting off work. It's like -3 Celsius. So it's like 27 degrees. Super cold. I come in there a little bit early. There's probably like 12 people in there. And I'm like, okay, this is a typical Mass that I go to elsewhere in the world, you know?
Right.
On a Tuesday night.
Right.
And literally by the time the bell rang, there's 200 people. The opening song was like rock and roll volume. Like I was like, what cathedral am I in? Like, is it a holy day of obligation?
Did I miss the memo?
What is going? I could not believe the singing was so beautiful. And I'm looking around and it's like college kids and just ski jackets and dude, just old ladies.
The
like,
Lord is doing crazy things in
Poland is kicking butt. And yeah. I walked around after the Mass and there was altars to JP too. And all
Saint
over
Maria,
the place.
Probably Maria Faustina as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's from Poland.
I just learned about her. Yeah. I'm a new Catholic and I'm learning about all these great saints. And man, if you're Protestant listening, you, like I challenge you to dive in and try to prove Catholicism wrong. Openly challenge you.
It's a dangerous challenge.
That's how I became Catholic. 'Cause I literally tried to prove my friend wrong. And I was like, who's Scott Hahn? Wait, who's this? Peter Kraft? Who's this guy?
What?
Oh my gosh. St. Augustine? St. Athanasius? Whoa, Irenaeus? Ignatius? Wait, they were talking about the Eucharist in 70 AD? Like, wait, no. Paul's letter to the Corinthians is probably 55 AD. This is pre-Gospels? Like,
yeah.
On and on. And you just go down the rabbit hole and you're like, you just go, cuff me.
Mm-hmm. Game set match.
Yeah. I was in when I tried to do that real quick testimony. I tried to prove my friend wrong. Let's say it was September 1st. September 15th, I was sitting one-on-one with a priest in catechism preparing for Easter the following April. So I literally spent
awesome,
2 weeks trying to prove my friend wrong, and everything I came across was a stumbling block to my Protestantism. So mm-hmm.
What grace was that flowed through to allow you to be that open minded? Because a lot of times, especially as men, we're very hard headed. We're very stubborn. Mm-hmm. We don't like to admit when we're wrong, or not necessarily when we're wrong, but when we believe something and yet we find the truth and realize, mm-hmm. what I believe does not equal the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a grace that you were filled with. That a lot of people don't have the opportunity to have.
That's why they say faith is comes from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's
nothing
gift.
We're doing like, oh, I have faith now because I decided to have faith.
I learned me something and now I have faith.
Yeah.
It's a complete gift.
When I heard the Augustine statement that says I don't believe so I can understand. No, I don't understand so I can believe. I believe so I can understand.
Yep.
You're just like, yes, that is awesome.
Checkmate.
Augustine.
So
that's proof that I'm a Protestant because I say Augustine.
It's Augustine.
But my confirmation name is Augustinus. So because I was confirmed in Europe. And so everywhere I go to in Europe, it's Augustine or Augustinus.
So it's a free pass for you.
Yeah. And so, but when I'm in Ventura, which is raging with the Holy Spirit Catholic Church, and we have Auxiliary Bishop Robert Barron.
Dude, he now, is legit.
Ventura, if you're thinking of moving with your family, come to Ventura County. Camarillo, Oxnard, Ventura. It's close to Santa Barbara. We got wine country. We got Pacific Ocean. And we have the Catholic Church, the Universal Church. In case you were wondering, what Catholicism comes from. What is it, Catholicos? Can you do it? Can you do it?
No, I can't.
Can you speak Greek? I can't speak Greek, but yes, it's the Universal Church. And my first experience with that was at Easter. I was on tour and I was in Britain and in the UK, and I was in Nottingham on Good Friday. And I went up and kissed the cross, and I watched everybody doing this. And I was like, there was people from Africa. There's people from the Philippines. There was Asian people, Irish people, Russian. I mean, literally like every walk of life.
Yeah.
You can imagine. And it hit me. This is the Universal
Church.
That's why this is the Universal Church.
Yeah.
Because it's for everybody. You can go to Nairobi and go to Mass and like know that we're in the Kyrie, like,
right? Yeah, exactly. Like,
there might be some drums going on. I don't know about in the Kyrie, but you know, the Africans really know how to.
Dude, they have some. They
really know how to have a 3-hour mass.
Yeah,
literally.
And those conga drums, they don't mess around.
Yeah, on a Tuesday night at 7 p.m., 3-hour mass.
Yeah. Buckle up, because
Warsaw, eat your heart out.
Oh man. Okay, so let's just, I mean, I can't believe this, but we're already at 48 minutes or 47 minutes.
We're like 45 because we sound checked for like
a couple minutes.
I'm still sound checking. I think I'm still louder than you.
You possibly are louder than me, but once I normalize this, they're not gonna be able to tell.
I have great tone. My vocal tone is super radio friendly, isn't it?
I have the looks for radio.
Dave, we're missing you.
Dude,
because
yeah, man, Dave
I'm
would
stealing,
love this.
Stealing your humility, dude, straight up.
Dave would be eating this up. Like, get a spoon, because Dave would be eating this up.
Yeah.
So we're going to go see Dave here in a minute. Let me give you the last word of whatever you'd want to say. Like, first of all, let me start off. I'll go first. I really appreciate, like, dude, you made a huge sacrifice to be here with me tonight. It's 11:35 on a Monday night. You have had, you know, less, you know, you haven't been asleep.
It's 7:35 in the morning
on your time. Exactly. You know, so you have,
my watch still like, reset, so
you have, yeah, you've gone over 24 hours without sleeping. I mean, you've been on a plane, you have jet lag, yet you decided to man up and be a part of the Catholic Man Show and come here and hang out with me, which, like, as a guy who enjoys rock and roll, like, especially classic, like, especially like the,
well, we're allowed to smoke in your house, man.
We are allowed to smoke pipes. Sorry, Haley. but no, in all seriousness, like, it was super cool on my end as an experience just to hang out with you.
Is not the last time.
Hopefully not. Yeah, I hope that is the case.
I would ask in return, after saying thanks for having me, after my. In soliciting you to have me on the show. I hit them up, just a disclaimer, confession, whatever you want to call it. I was like hitting up Patrick Hoffman. These guys need to have me on the show. I want to be on the show. I want to meet these guys. These guys are rad. They're doing rad service.
And when he told us that, we were like, yes, absolutely. We'd love to have him on.
And then I did not know they were from Tulsa. And when I saw my first day of the next tour was going to be in Tulsa, I was like, and then you were going to be at EW2. You had to be gone tomorrow. And I'm like, this is the only day.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'll sleep on the plane. I'll do whatever I have to do.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, so thanks for having me. And thanks, Dave, for not being here so I could steal all your thunder. And we thank Mary Angelica for allowing me to steal the thunder from Dave. 'Cause I have the new humility.
Yeah, you do.
The new humility. Where's the humility award?
Award? Yeah.
Is your mom going to make one for me?
Probably. She would. That is manly.
That is pretty manly.
She would do it.
That, I have to say, is manly.
That is pretty.
My mom made that. My mom would do that for me.
Yeah. What he's referring to is there's a frame on our wall here in the studio of an article that was written about Dave and I, and my mom cut it out and put it to, like, made this frame and all this stuff and made it, like, you know, very nice, presentable. And so that's what he's referring to.
And I'm just showing the microphone how awesome and beautiful John Paul the Great is, but you can't see it. I was literally holding the book up to the microphone, hoping that you could hear his rosary beads in this picture. But no, I want to ask the men, if you actually made it this far, 51 minutes into this podcast, or this postcast, what do you call this?
Yeah. Postcast. Post-podcast.
Pod post.
Cast.
Cast. Please pray for me and the Rival Sons. I ask for you to pray for strength and that I can be a light on the road to anyone who's in the audience. I mean, we're playing to 20,000 people, 30 in South America, 30, 40,000 people a night. Maybe somebody sees the cross flashing in the lights or, you know, whatever. I don't know. Or I can just glorify God in the moment and play well.
Yeah.
And be a slice of heaven, like we discussed in the podcast. I can transcend your crazy life, all our crazy lives that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Music is something that can take us out of that and shouldn't make us, like, ignore our responsibilities, because as men we need to be responsible. I think responsibility is one of the number one man words,
yeah, you know? For sure.
And virtue words, and tolerance, of course, being close second.
Correct.
You know, we got to be tolerant, and you know, I learned that from you guys. Moderate. It's a bad joke. It's a great joke, but it's a bad joke. Tolerant, the ultimate, you know, modern secular virtue.
Dave said, "All right, we're gonna be we're gonna practice tolerance." This evening, we're going to take a lot of shots, so we're going to be taller.
Yeah, yeah. That was last week. Yeah,
yeah, so.
I'm quoting Dave. Dave, like, your humility has to be growing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, man, I hope he didn't even listen to this. But anyway, hey,
thanks,
guys. Yeah, go check out Rival Sons. Go check them out on iTunes and their website, and you can look them up. Just Google them. They're all over the place. And check out their tour dates. Where else are you going to be going? Are you going anywhere else? Like, where else are you going in the U.S.?
Well, we're doing Tulsa, Houston, San Antonio, Fort Worth, and then we do Mexico City.
Okay.
Where I'm going to see Our Lady.
Yes.
I'll be in Mexico City 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th. So if anybody's near La Basilica, La Villa de Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, Nuestra Madre, I'm trying to practice my Spanish. Is that Dave?
That was Dave. He just asked us if we were planning on stopping by.
Oh, I guess that is definitely our cue. Did you hear the ding? It even dinged. It was like Mr. Rogers.
It dinged. So, anyway.
Won't you be? Please won't you be my neighbor?
Okay, so on that note, we got to just say we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
He was like trying to coddle me into that. Right. It took me a minute to come up with it, but yes, we're on the winning side. So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
Stay manly.